Scott.
I'm Whitney.
And this is episode 92 of Frankly, My Dear. This week's episode is brought to you by our sponsor, Shadow Dog Productions. And we're going to read some copy that they sent over. It says, this podcast is sponsored by the award-winning Shadow Dog
Productions. We already said that part.
This podcast is sponsored by the award-winning Shadow Dog Productions movie, Dirt Cheap Therapy.
Okay.
We'll be screening our award at the Indie Gathering Convention and Film Festival just outside of Cleveland, Ohio on August 19th, and you can be there. Come watch Dirt Cheap Therapy screen with myself, director John Foots, and some of the actors on August 19th at 11:30 a.m. Stick around for us to pick up our award at 4 p.m. If you can't stay, at least come watch the movie with us. If you live close enough to Cleveland, Ohio that you think you can make the trip, contact us at shadowdog.productions@gmail.com. If you do come out, I'll let you pick up a DVD from our vault, including our never-before-released comedy feature film, Nerds of Steel. Be the first person to check out that or snag a copy of Dirt Cheap Therapy or Trim Reaper. We'd love to meet any and all Frankly, My Dear podcast fans.
I had something weird to say, but that was like 3 minutes ago. No, I can't remember.
We haven't even been recording for 3 minutes.
Yes, we have. The Cleaves.
A minute 23.
That was just really long.
Minute 23. So you thought about it like when you were out in the living room.
Yeah, but I kind of like zoned out.
What are we doing this week?
We're reviewing The Dark Knight Rises, and we got top 3 plot holes.
Stick around. First writer-inner is Nolan from Bargain Bin Reviews. He writes, hi, Franklies. As a reviewer of bad movies, there was no way I could not write in on this one. After much soul-searching, my top 5 worst movies that I love are number 5, Plan 9 from Outer Space. For the record, it's not even close to being the worst movie ever. Number 4, Godzilla vs. the Smog Monster, the first movie I ever saw. A classic Godzilla movie with 100% more acid rock and a social message as subtle as a dropkick to the crotch.
That's cool that he can remember the first movie he ever saw.
Yeah, I can remember the first I saw in theaters, but not first ever.
No way. I was probably like an infant.
Yeah. Number 3, Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. It's a live action, it's like a live action episode of Scooby-Doo, but with Kiss instead of the Mystery Inc. Number 2, Xanadu, Olivia Newton-John, ELO, which is
what?
Electric Light Orchestra. And Roller Skating, Gene Kelly, Greek Mythology. It's like this movie was assembled with Mad Libs. That, I have an interesting Xanadu story.
Yes?
The guy who played Swan, I think it's Michael Beck in The Warriors, he was once, quote, he's in Xanadu. He once said, the Warriors opened a lot of doors, which Xanadu promptly closed.
Is he a main character? He's a big character. I've never seen it.
Yeah, he's a big character in it.
What about Sex and the City?
That different guy.
Oh.
Number 1, Deathstalker 2, Duel of the Titans. It's just like any other cheaply made sword and sorcery movie, except the lead is played by that cool guy from Shop Class who just happened to wander onto the set. Contains more furniture smashing and spit takes per minute than any other film in history.
I love spit takes. That's like the funniest.
Honorable mentions, Gymkata, Black Belt Jones, Birdemic, The Dragon Lives Again, Roadhouse, Rock and Roll Nightmare, The Room, The Postman, Flight of the Living Dead, Gamera vs. Giron, Hawk the Slayer, Over the Top, Shark Attack 3, Megalodon. You can see how I had a hard time narrowing this down. Great show as always. Hope all is well. Nolan.
I want to see The Postman. I keep hearing funny things about it. I want to see The Postman and Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Yeah, I can't believe you've never seen Robin Hood, Prince
Not
of Thieves.
Not with sound.
And I love Over the Top. I think a lot of people love Over the Top.
Yeah, you wouldn't let me put that on my list.
Oh, yeah.
Remember,
you
I wanted to put it on my list, and you're like, no, everyone loves Over the Top.
Everyone does love Over the Top. All right, who's next?
We got an email from Rebecca. She says, Scott and Whitney, at one point during your podcast, Scott mentioned something about millennials expecting reboots of franchises more often because they are constantly bombarded with new and current images all the time. I had doubts about this comment until I heard that yet another Superman is coming out. You wondered if the classics would be lost. The answer is yes, and I think they will be lost quicker than in the past. Scott mentioned that it was unfair to show a 16-year-old The Godfather and expect him not to find it boring, but by age 16 I had seen some movies such as Citizen Kane, Stalag 17, Gaslight, Patton, etc., etc., and my experience was not unique. My friends had seen these movies, and they were part of what we referenced our lives against, part of our shared social experience. I'll make him an offer he can't refuse, let's gaslight him, etc. Not only is reality TV in their own reality in the form of YouTube all that is wanted by this generation, but culturally and socially, how can they relate to any of the films I listed? Hollywood reboots are going the way of iPhones, a new version every year. I think that is why book serials are good, at least they don't often reboot these. Oh well, what can we do? But it got me thinking, which of the following origin stories is best, based on content and not special effects, and why, or is there a better one? Then she lists some movies. 78 Superman, 2008 Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton, Iron Man, the 89 Batman, 2005 Batman Begins, X-Men, or 2002 Spider-Man. So I want to comment on the first part first, because, yeah, I think, like, it's telling that by 16 she had seen those movies. But by 16, and she's around the same age as my dad, I'm assuming, and my mom, my parents still haven't seen those movies.
Right.
So I don't think that that's an experience of that generation. And I think that if you look to 16-year-olds these days, though, like Jessica, my sister, someone who's interested in film, has seen those movies.
Right.
And then a lot of her friends have never seen those movies. So I don't think, I don't know, I always have like a really backlash. I don't know. I hate that, like, idea that this next generation is stupider or, like, needs, like, faster edits to be entertained or blah, blah, blah. Like, people have been making those statements for so long, like, oh, kids these days. So
right.
I just don't, I don't really buy it. I don't know.
I want to know, this is something that's going to show my ignorance about film. I want to know how she saw those movies, like were they screened in theaters later on? Were they?
Or is she talking about like a little bit later when VCRs were invented?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to like line up the timelines. I don't know if they screened them on TVs. I know it was just harder because when we grew up with the VCR, we could watch whatever we wanted from the store whenever we wanted. Nowadays, kids can get things so much more medium.
So they can have like. So they don't have to watch Godfather because that's the only thing playing at the multiplex that weekend or whatever.
Right. Or, of the 1,000 movies that are at a Hollywood Video, there's 10,000 movies to watch on Netflix Instant Watch.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's, our friend Luke and I were talking about that where kids don't need, they just have so much more. It's how we got the whole conversation started.
Yeah, but it's not just kids either. Like, we watch way different movies than we did 10 years ago because we have Netflix and Instant Watch, you and I.
Definitely.
Like, I know, at least for me, like, the quality of movies I used to watch when I had to go out and rent them, and, like, I was in the movie store picking out movies, rather than, like, just picking it, like, at home at night, like, what do I want to watch? Like, the quality was way better back then.
That's true.
And I don't know if that's solely because of Instant Watch or whatever, or if that's just because I was, like, in film school and...
Yeah, I feel the quality of films I watch overall has gone way down since film school.
Yeah.
And probably higher... I think I make a list every year of, like, 100 movies that I want to watch. This year I've done terrible trying to watch it, but I try to get all 100 watched. And that helps me get past the stuff that I've known since I worked at Hollywood Video or since I was a kid as these great movies. I've never seen The Deer Hunter, for example.
And but so also I think for me,
Netflix Instant Watch has really great movies that you can watch.
But it also has really bad ones that are like popcorn
easy
movies.
Easy to
watch. But also, I will say this, like, I feel that I've seen the best movies. Like, there are a few that I'm missing, obviously. Like, I haven't seen everything, and when people do You Choose picks, like, it's obvious that I haven't seen everything. But, like, when I'm thinking about it, I'm like, I feel like I've seen the best movies. Like, I've seen the movies I'm going
to
love
forever. That's why I have to make those lists, because I have
But even, I've made those lists, too, and I'm looking at them, and I'm not excited about any of them. Whereas when I was a kid, I'm like, I can't see them all. And now I'm like... Oh, I could watch this, like, cult favorite from 1987 that I'll probably think is okay.
I don't know. For me, I think, like, with Criterion, I've seen, like, 1% of everything that's on Criterion. Mm. So there's amazing stuff out there. Ever since Instant
I've seen the big stuff on Criterion, though. Maybe that's what I'm talking about. Like, yeah, the big classics.
I've seen a lot of the ones that make lists.
Yeah, what is that? Sure. What is that Criterion series where it's, like, the first movies that no one's ever heard about from them?
Yeah.
Like, it has a little E instead of a C?
Yeah, it's the... It starts with a D.
I think it starts with an E, actually. Anyway.
I don't know, man.
It has the E on it. Anyway.
I was saying, you haven't seen
I haven't seen those, but, like, that's because they're not that good.
But they're...
I've seen some. I've seen Ingmar Bergman's early ones, and I'm like, wow, these are nothing compared to his last ones. That's why they're not as famous as his other ones.
Yeah, but I feel when I get those lists and I do watch all 100, I'll find 20 new movies that I think are fantastic that I wouldn't have seen otherwise, because even though I know La Aventura is great, I just don't want to sit down and get through it.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of like now on Instant Watch, and this is going on way too long, but I feel like with their Instant Watch, lately some of the movie posters have changed, like the little like picture that they put with each film, and I'll look at it like a new film. Because I'm sick of seeing those posters go by as I, like, go through my queue. I'm sick of hearing those same titles over and over and over again. But if I come at it from a different angle, like, I want to see everything from this director, then I get past those hurdles of, I'm not going to watch that because I feel like I've been putting it off for a reason for 10 years.
Oh, I see.
Or what was the second half of her email?
Oh, what, like, superhero movie we like best? I like X-Men. What about you?
I don't know. I honestly thought the first Spider-Man was really good. Like, as for an origin story, story.
Tobey Maguire was, like...
Yeah.
Well, it had James Franco, too.
I think,
How could you not love that, but...
I love I've loved no Superman movies.
Me neither. I hate Superman.
And I think that it might come from the comics, but then the movies just were...
Except for I loved Lois and Clark, because I had all the romance and all the backstory. I feel like it's kind of like I care about them. I actually didn't care about the romance so much as I cared about, like, them as reporters. Like, I didn't want to... When I watched that show, I'm like, I'm going to be an investigative reporter when I grow up. I didn't care about the Superman element of it. And I think that's why I like X-Men, too, is because... this is a weird segue, but I think the characters are so much more interesting than any of the other superheroes. Because you have Magneto, and I think Magneto is, like, the coolest.
Cool. Next up is, I believe, a new writer-inner. Josh? Written him before?
No.
I think it's a new writer-inner. He's also this week's You Choose winner. So, Josh, if you want to email us at Frankly My Dear Podcast or send me a text or whatever, let us know what movie you want us to review and we'll do it. Josh says, I've been listening to the last few podcasts. I agree with Scott. Moonrise Kingdom became my favorite Wes Anderson movie instantly. There was such a naive beauty to it. You can't make a romantic film with that sort of purity and have it be touching and sweet without completely cheesy and cliche, without doing something like this. The kids make the movie great. It's amazing to me that his movies still have to work their way out of the art houses. Lastly, I completely agree with you about the Broadway Theater in Salt Lake City.
Oh.
I can't go to films there. It's not enjoyable. Besides the fact that as bad as half of the mainstream films are, the indie film industry is equally horrible.
Seriously, they're the ones making that Marigold Hotel shit. Go on.
Plus, it may be that I'm just a fat guy, but I want to see my popcorn movies with good popcorn, even if I'm going to go out. If I'm even going to go out.
If I'm going to go out.
If I'm going to go out from all that popcorn.
Sorry, I'm read along with you.
Even movies that I'm really excited for, I'll wait for DVD versus going to the Broadway. Plus, I liked The Dictator.
What?
I think that you can't compare it to the absolute comedic genius of Borat, but I felt
comedic
the same...
genius?
But I felt the same as Ted. They weren't great movies, but great comedies. I will laugh at fart jokes because farts are fucking funny. Keep up the good work. Also, I'm trying to set up a backyard theater and have movie nights. I'll let you know if I get this going.
Oh, I would love to start movie nights again.
Yeah. especially in a backyard theater.
Yeah, I remember, I mean, I only went a few times, but it was so much fun going over to Brian's. Mm-hmm. And this is maybe, like, not
a little on the inside.
Yeah, okay, I'll stop, but the movies, I like watching movies with those guys.
The movies he wants to see in 2012 are Perks of Being a Wallflower, The Master, Seven Psychopaths, Skyfall, and Django Unchained.
The only reason I'm not excited for Perks of Being a Wallflower is because that psychopath from We Need to Talk About Kevin is one of the main characters, and it creeps me out. Because I love that. In high school, that was the first book I ever read in one sitting. I started at, like, 3 in the afternoon, and I finished super late at night on a Saturday night, and, like, I just, like, gobbled it up. It was, you know, it's about me. Uh-huh. So emo and, like, terrible. But that psychopath is too creepy.
The first book I ever read in one sitting as a teenager or above was Hiroshima.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I thought, what about, like, Chevy Chase?
No, that came later. Chevy Chase. Chevy Chase's autobiography, that came later.
All right, Rachel Carter wrote in again. She says, Dear Dears, I know it was a few episodes ago now, but I just listened to your list of terrible movies that you love, and Scott mentioned How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days as one of his runners-up. I'd really like to hear his defense of that, because despite the fact that every single element of that movie is horrible and insulting, two awful people being awful to each other, she wants to write about politics, Matthew McConaughey, etc. I don't find it unwatchable. Why is that? I thought maybe it was just the nostalgia of having watched it many, many times with my roommates in college, but if you could offer a better explanation, I'd love to hear it. I love this podcast, and it's really fun to be able to listen to it again. Thanks, guys.
Ugh.
Why?
She really called me on it. I don't know. First of all, I love terrible romantic comedies.
Yeah.
That is just
why one... Why do you love them?
I don't know. I don't...
Just because they're, like, so
they're
easy to watch.
They're so simple and nice.
Yeah.
You know,
and
it's
some
the
good
same...
jokes.
Sometimes.
Like, that fern thing. I don't remember. What did she say about the fern?
She, like, when she's, like, crying about yeah. it. Yeah.
That was kind of funny,
I don't
want
to. I don't want to quote parts of that movie. Whether I can or can't, that's a mystery. I don't know. It's the same way that I get, like, really bad 80s action movies. Sometimes you just want simple movies. Like, I'll enjoy In Away From Her.
But how come you can have simple movies and have them be, like, decent? But she's right. There is nothing about this movie that's, not a single saving element. So why do people like it? Because a lot of people like it.
Yeah, it just has, like, a, I mean, yes, she wants to write a politics. I've met stupid girls who want to write about politics. She's never going to write about politics. That is a side element. I don't know. I like McConaughey. I think he's funny. I think in this type of movie where you have, like, people like Gerard Butler, Chris Pine, like, all of these, like, tough, like, asshole guys.
Sleazy
just,
guys.
Like, even, like, Chris Evans, like, these
but
guys
wait,
that I can't...
McConaughey is like that.
He's not.
He's
he
totally
knows
is.
How ridiculous he is.
You think so?
That's the main difference between McConaughey versus any of these guys who are in these, like, horrible romantic
but
comedies.
What about, like, compare McConaughey to that Scottish guy in Bridesmaids. Like, the
no,
perfect
he's...
romantic comedy
right.
man.
That guy, that guy's adorable and should be in tons of these movies.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why I haven't seen him in more. But if you're going for the hot guy to pair with the hot girl so you can sell tickets...
McConaughey?
I mean, I'm not the one calling him the
yeah,
hot
okay,
guy.
Yeah, okay, but yeah, I guess we'll do things.
But of all the quote-unquote hot guy to put on a poster, McConaughey is, like, one of the only ones who knows how ridiculous it is that he's famous.
You
and he's
so?
Known that since Dazed and Confused, you know? Like, he from the beginning,
That's a
he's been able to, like, be
it.
Funny. And he's funny in that movie. And, like...
I just
he
can't get past the gender stereotypes.
In those movies?
In, no,
or
in
this
one particularly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in all of them.
But this one especially.
But in this one especially. Like, this is what girls want out of a relationship. This is what boys want.
Right. But if you
no
look
exceptions.
At it, but if you look at it from the fact that all the characters are, like, completely, like, multimillionaire, vapid assholes, dumb asses.
So it's
yes.
classist, too.
It's totally classed. If you want to talk about Made in Manhattan, we can have another discussion about that.
No, thank you.
Or The Wedding Planner, or any of these. I can't defend him. I don't know. Unless I just did. McConaughey's good. And then Goldie Hawn was awesome in her day, and I think she gave some of that to Kate Hudson.
Nope.
Have you seen Overboard?
Oh, I hate Overboard.
Well, of course you hate Overboard.
That movie, my grandma used to play that. My
That's
grandpa
the same
loved it
kind
of
thing because
oh,
Kurt Russell gets why he's so ridiculous, too.
Yeah, but he does that so much more successfully in Escape from New York. Like, I'm way more interested. I don't know, maybe I'm just more interested in, like, manly stereotypes, and I don't find... Maybe that's it. I'm having an epiphany. Maybe I don't get offended about manly stereotypes, because I'm not a man, but in these romantic comedies, when they're playing with the same, like, set of stereotypes, but for women,
right.
I can't handle it, and I get offended.
Right.
It'd but, like Die Hard, watching, I'm like, awesome, yeah, men!
Me watching Die Hard going, like, oh, you can't tell your wife you love her, or at that point, you gotta right. be a tough guy, because right. guys gotta be tough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't do that. So maybe you shouldn't.
I think men are hilarious. Those stereotypes are really funny.
I feel that point went over your head.
I get it.
What Jess Rogers have to say?
You have that one.
Jess Rogers from Real Insight, the Real Insight podcast, says, "Hey, Scott and Whitney, sorry I've been MIA. I got behind in listening. I love the top five bad movies you like. Some impressively bad but fun choices. Much of my movie collection could fit into that category, so I won't bother to list them. Keep the laughs coming." Thanks, Jess.
Here's one thing I want to say. You know how we're having this ridiculously long listener feedback again?
That's right.
Mark Maron on his podcast, his 100th podcast, which he just issued or whatever, that's all he did, like, the whole episode, and it was really entertaining. So I feel like people should write in and tell us if they want shorter listener feedbacks or not.
Yeah.
Because I actually like it, listening to it, like, hearing him interact with, like, smart people and dumb right. people, interesting people, whatever. So,
yeah, email us, franklymydearpodcast @gmail.com.
Okay.
But, like, let us know. Does listener feedback go way too long these days or not?
Yeah.
All right. We love getting writer-inners. And I feel like some of the most interesting discussions happen because of things that
me
people
write in. Me too. The tangents are more interesting than the straightforward reviews to me. But maybe that's just because we haven't thought about them yet. Like, it's new information and we're
right.
just talking like normal.
I've already heard our Batman review
exactly.
four times.
Yeah, okay. like, anyway. This one, next one's from Allison. She says, "Hey, Frankly, so I'm studying abroad in the Czech Republic this summer, and at dinner one night, someone said that they hadn't seen any Star Wars or even heard of Citizen Kane. She claims it's a Russian thing, but I'm really doubtful that being Russian makes you completely ignorant of Citizen Kane." No, but it makes you... What can we say about Russians?
Makes you Russian, I don't know.
Makes you a commie.
I am with her.
I would hope we win more medals than them. "But I'm not sure I buy the millennial excuse that we don't watch old movies. Everyone I know has seen at least one John Hughes movie or waxes nostalgic about the TV shows we watched in the 90s. I just saw Moonrise Kingdom here, which reminded me of Whitney's experience seeing a movie in Paris. I loved it more than I thought I would, and I think it helps that it's an end-of-the-summer movie that I saw at the end of my summer in Prague. I did think the music was a little distracting instead of setting the tone, but maybe my theater's levels were off." That's so cool. Like, I love those movies that are just, like, perfect place at the perfect time.
Yeah.
And can I talk about this theater? Not only is it English-friendly and has a bar decorated like that club in Twin Peaks, it's also connected to a poster shop that was founded by Terry Gilliam. They display his sock in the shop. Pretty cool, and if you want to check it out online, see terry-posters.com. Hope you all are having a good summer. Allison. It sounds like she's having a good summer.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. Anyway, that's all for listener feedback.
Next up is movie news. Stick around.
News on the mark!
So there's going to be a fourth Friday movie.
That's our movie news? That's like what you just spent 20 minutes looking at?
I had to confirm a fact.
Was that the fact, that there's going to be a fourth Friday movie?
No, I already knew there was going to be a fourth Friday movie, but a poster came out for it yesterday.
Uh-huh.
It's fake.
Oh, so like they don't know who's going to be in it? Or...
No, I think they know who's going to be in it. Ice Cube said back in March that he's going to be in it, and Chris Tucker's coming back. So,
yay!
That's a big deal. You can't have a Friday movie. I mean, you can. They've had some
without
him. But they should. But he got religious, did you know?
No! Chris Tucker's religious, though?
Look at that movie news, dropping knowledge.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah.
That's more interesting than that there's going to be a fourth Friday movie.
Well, that was my segue into this discussion. Yeah, he got all religious, didn't want to play a pothead anymore, so that's why he wasn't in the Friday movies.
Oh.
And now they've been trying to get him to come back for... Last Friday.
Oh, is that what it's going to be called?
Yep, so you have Friday, next Friday, Friday after... Or no.
Yeah,
Friday
after
next. Last Friday. 2 Fridays ago, I hope that's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he... So he plays a pot smoker, like a just a little delinquent, and he wouldn't play it.
Why is he going to do it now?
I think they just talked him into it. Maybe money. I also read that there's a fourth Rush Hour movie in production. No. The screenwriter says he wants to do something grittier with it.
Good. That's exactly what people want. They don't like the jokes in Rush Hour. Right. They like the grittiness.
Right.
Oh, man. Which Friday did I see? I think I saw Friday and next Friday. I don't think I saw Friday After Next, or maybe I did.
Friday After Next is the Christmas one.
No, I didn't see that one. Yeah. I don't like them.
I'm not surprised.
Okay.
That's movie news. You don't like Friday. You know what you do like?
What?
American Horror Story.
I do like that.
American Horror Story is coming back in October. I'm so excited. I've heard rumors, and I was trying to confirm that fact, that it's going to take place in an asylum, which I know that makes you just the happiest.
I love asylum movies.
They,
probably because I took Psych 101.
Here's one of the things that kind of makes me excited, but kind of makes me worried about this second season.
Yeah.
Is that Adam Levine, the lead singer from Maroon 5, and he's on The Voice, he's one of the judges on The Voice, has been cast in a role. We don't know what the role is.
But it could be really small, like, because remember that guy from Heroes was in it too?
Right.
And he ended up being really good, but it was just like a really small role, but they made it before the show started, they're like, this guy from Heroes! And they made it a really big deal.
Were you talking about Zachary Quinto?
Yeah.
He was a huge role in the first season.
Not really. Like, he wasn't even in every episode.
No, but...
He was
if Adam Levine has as much screen time as Zachary Quinto, I'm a little worried.
Because
he doesn't act when...
What do you think he's gonna play?
I hope
just douchebag. That's like the only thing he can play.
I hope a janitor at an asylum.
Janitor douchebag.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or like nurse douchebag. Like whatever he is, he has to have douchebag.
Male nurse douchebag. Yeah,
he's
like
the
that.
Worst.
Who? But two other people got cast, and I thought you'd be excited about that.
Okay.
Clay Duvall.
Oh, I like her.
And Chloe Sevigny.
Oh, she's
how do you
right.
say her name?
Savini? Always said it Savini, but I'm...
I'll go with that. I'm sure it's not Sevigny?
And Clea Duvall is so good.
So
she was in Girl Interrupted, another asylum.
Mm-hmm.
And she was good.
So the cast, it keeps coming out, but October, hopefully it's about asylums. I don't know. All right, and that's it for movie news. Chris Tucker, Adam Levine. All the actors you've been too lazy to Google, we did it for you. Stick around.
Do you think he's coming back?
I don't know.
Whitney and I went to go see the third Batman movie, third Christopher Nolan movie, finishing out the trilogy, Dark Knight Rises. And
I think people know what it is. I don't think you needed, like, the preamble. I'm just saying, I think if you just, even if you were just like, TDKR, people would know what you were talking about.
I wouldn't know what you were talking about. I need all of that.
But you do. You read Reddit.
So we went to the theater and we each bought a ticket. I got some popcorn and we made our way into theater 2, left-hand side, and got seats in the front, not the front, very front row, but the front row of the back section where they had the bars. We had to actually choose our seats from a computer screen. Whitney was very upset. And
it was 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning.
Went out of her way to tell the manager that she did not want them to be switching to a gateway style pick with the computer screen.
She said it was good that I told him that.
She is more of a sit where you will.
You said it was good that I told him that.
Of course I did, or you'd start telling me.
And I was so right, because if I would have not chosen my seat online, I would have known not to sit in front of that little fucker who kicked my chair the entire time. That little girl, she was like 4 years old. Why is she in this Batman movie? And she was bored to death. She was like kicking out rhythms to the music on the back of my chair, and her like 800-pound mother sitting next to her.
Uh-oh.
Wheezing the whole time. Didn't have the energy just to like put a hand on her shoulder and be like, hey, little fucker, stop. So...
I will say,
I was right.
I will say, the only thing I can blame the computer for is somehow cementing it into your brain that you couldn't switch seats. But you were in this theater for 3 hours, and this little girl starts kicking your seat during the previews, and you go, God damn it, the computer said I have to sit here. There's 6 people in this theater, but this is the one I picked.
The older I get, the more I feel like I have to obey those kinds of rules for some reason.
Nobody to the right of you. Nobody to the left of me.
There was a part of me that, like, wanted to see where it was going to go. Like, because she didn't start tapping out the rhythms until, like, almost the end of the movie. So, like, she was just, like,
did
kicking.
Did you think she was kicking, like, braille messages to you?
No. She was just kicking, and I just wanted to see like how Morse bad code. It could get. Because she would, like, push against the chair. Like, she would lean all the way back in her chair, because at one point I turned around and kind of glared at her and realized
she
was 4. She
was staring at the ceiling,
She was staring at the ceiling all the way back and pushing as hard as she could onto the back of my chair. Mm-hmm. She was, like, she was an insane little kid.
Now, she was a little kid.
Insane.
She was a little kid.
Well,
it was bored
in
a 3-hour movie.
Batman. It's a little violent, I think, for children.
She wasn't paying attention, so I don't think it was a problem.
Okay. Anyway.
And it's also not that violent, so I also don't think that that's a problem.
Okay, well, it's a little boring for children. Anyway, I hated her and I hated her mom. Okay.
What did you think
Should
of the
we
movie?
Are talking about the movie? Pretty good.
Yeah, it was alright.
It was alright. The 3 Batman movies, which one, like the Nolan movies,
this
one's
the worst.
Do you like the best? Which one do you like the best?
Second one. It goes Dark Knight, Begins, Dark Knight Rises.
Mine goes Begins, Dark Knight Rises.
Can't believe you like Begin.
Because it has the Scarecrow, and also you haven't seen it in like 10 years. Maybe you should go back and watch it.
Maybe I'll rewatch it, but you're not going to beat Heath Ledger's Joker. Not with Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, but you are going to beat... How many people they're trying to... how many storylines they're trying to shove into the movie. Like, I think that Batman Begins... I mean, I haven't seen him in a long time either, so maybe we should both go back and watch him. But I think that Batman Begins is a better structured movie, and Dark Knight Rises is, like, really... The Dark Knight is really, like, up and down in mm-hmm. weird spots. Like, I wish they wouldn't have put my classmate Aaron Eckhart in the movie, even though he was good, it was like the Two-Face storyline was just extra. You could have had a whole movie about the Joker and it would have been awesome.
I didn't care. For me, it was I didn't care about Ra's al Ghul in the comics, so I wasn't going to care about him in the movies, and I just wanted more Batman Joker. My favorite Batman movie of all time is Batman Returns. I like the cartoony, like, crazy criminals. Him and his little, like, ninja clan, like, didn't cut it for me.
So you don't like the realistic stuff, which is why, Dark Knight, you probably didn't like this movie the most. It's because
this movie has
hardly any Batman. It's all it's like a police procedural movie.
Yeah, that's true.
But with lots of mistakes.
With huge gaping plot holes, I feel we'll get to.
But I didn't hate it.
Like, no. For a 2-hour, 45-minute movie or whatever it was.
I was entertained.
I was entertained the whole time. When it ended, I was like, wow, that went by really quickly. If we had reviewed it that night, it would have been a very different review than reviewing it now.
Not me. I got out of it, because like, I was kind of excited for it. I'm like, this is going to be cool. Like, this is the big movie of the year, you know? And then I was just like, I was really underwhelmed because of how little Batman there is and how little of the villains there are. Like, it's really, like, it's a Jogo, Gary Oldman movie.
Which, if they had billed it as that, God, I'd love to go see any Gary Oldman Jogo movie.
Yeah, but you can't put Batman in a movie and then focus on Jogo. Like, you want to look at Batman, he's awesome. So I was underwhelmed as I left the theater, just because I think my expectations were high.
And I was excited for it, and I came out thinking, that was entertaining, I'll have to sit on it for a little while. The longer I've sat, the less I've liked it.
Because you're, like, thinking about all the holes, right?
Huge holes that makes me upset because this was the longest time they've spent between Batman films.
Mm.
Between the second one and the third one. And it cost a ridiculous amount of money. And do you think we're stupid? I know you have to catch it. Someone reading this script or acting in it goes, hey, how's XYZ happen?
But maybe all they're doing is just saying, it's a Batman movie. Like, obviously there are holes.
But,
people aren't bats.
And there were holes in Batman Begins, there were holes in The Dark Knight. But Christopher Nolan, like, tries to anchor his film, that's the main selling point, is this is the realistic Batman.
Yeah.
And then, If they are just saying, it's just a Batman movie, you're taking it too seriously, then fuck them. Because you were the one who told us we had to take it seriously. I have no problem with plot holes in the Schumacher films.
Right, you're
Batman
the one...
Batman and Robin plot holes, so be it. It's just a Batman movie.
You're the one that has turned these into political allegories. You're the one that has taken all of the magical elements out of the bad guys. Like,
right.
Yeah, you're right. He does ask you to take it very seriously. So I hate that when you're talking about, like... Dark Knight, and you talk about how conservative it is with, like, support of the Patriot Act and all of that, and people are just like, it's just a movie! And you're like, yeah, but it's a political movie, and this guy himself has said it's a political movie, so, like, I have even more justification for this movie than other movies that I think are political. Like,
yeah,
why
exactly.
is this the one you get upset about? Because this movie, it, too, was, like, struck me as super conservative.
Yeah.
These are like... post 9/11 movies, like... Very pro-Bush, it seems to me. Like, that's...
And I can't believe, like, Jack Bauer wasn't in this one.
Yes!
It's like 24 conservative.
It has the exact same, like, philosophies as 24. Like, you have one vigilante who's gotta do what he's gotta do to get things done. And if that means monitoring a bunch of innocent people's cell phone calls, then that's what you have to do to protect your city.
Right. That means torturing people? You do what you gotta do.
And
that
even means... clean energy in this movie is bashed.
Right.
You're like... You build clean energy, and people are going to take advantage of it and destroy your city. Like,
yeah, if you try to build clean energy, it's only going to result in becoming a nuclear bomb.
Right, or you have, like, the class conflict, which is super obvious. Like, they have every single person in this movie comments at some point in the other, about how there are rich people in Gotham and poor people, and that there's a large disparity between them. And then you see someone try and fix that disparity, and he's the bad guy, and it ends really, really poorly.
And
like, how can you not take that politically?
Yeah, you have communist meal lines.
Yes.
And I was like, it was that, where it was just like, within a few months, it's just like huddled masses trying to get a little bowl of goulash in the middle of Gotham.
And that's actually the reason, those were the reasons I like the movie, is because it's so political. I don't care that it's conservative or liberal or whatever.
Right.
Like, it's interesting because of that.
Agreed, and it's worth talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely won't knock the film for trying to do it, because those old Batman movies don't have that layer.
Not that I can see. I mean, they're probably somewhere in there, but... Batman and Robin is, like, way pro-gay rights, right? that nipple suit? Come on.
So they, I want to talk about the plot holes. I'm sorry.
It's all you can think about. Yeah,
and then we could talk about other things.
Okay.
One, you can't fix a broken back with a piece of rope. Two, he had no Alfred. He had no resources. At that point, he was not Batman. How'd he get back to Gotham?
Can we just talk about that prison, though, too? Because I think that prison has more of a plot hole than just how he got back to Gotham.
Who feeds, like, those prisoners? Who watches them?
Is this in the middle of, like, Afghanistan? If so, why do all of them come out with the accents they have? Like, why does Bane sound like an old prospector? And I actually have a problem with his voice, but, like, given his origin story, like, as an old prospector in Afghanistan, like, what?
Yeah.
Where did that come from? Why'd they ship this guy from Louisiana to... Afghanistan.
Why take time out of your, like, world plot to, like, send him and put him in that hole?
Yes.
You know, and...
Oh, Batman. Sending
Batman
back. Yeah,
right.
Like, you have a whole city to make sure that the poor people, that the rich people are eating gruel. Like, who's taking...
Make him eat gruel.
Because
he's
there, right? Like, doesn't he, like, talk to Batman while Batman's in the prison?
I'd have to watch it again. I don't remember
I think
if
he
that's
is.
True.
I think it's him personally there.
And so it's just like... But then to get back, so getting out of the pit, so you've built a prison where someone can jump out. Granted, it's extremely hard. A lot of people...
Only Batman and a baby.
And little baby Bane. Baby Bane and
no,
Batman.
No, it wasn't Baby Bane, though. Trick.
Oh, that's right.
No one's going to listen to this if they haven't seen the movie.
Right, and I like that twist. But then you've just got a rope at the top so you can let everybody out. And that's fine.
Yeah, why is that rope there, though?
But if he...
He doesn't even have to go and get a rope. It's just sitting there.
It's just sitting there like, is Batman going to leave
him? And
who
are these prisoners? Like, is this a good thing that he's letting them all out?
Exactly. Like, yeah, they're living in
terrible
conditions.
They've all been wrongfully imprisoned.
But, like, if Bane and Talia al Ghul have been in that prison...
Yeah, maybe it's
now look what they're up to. Yeah, so...
But yeah, then somehow he gets, without any money, he gets back to Gotham and gets inside Gotham.
Yes, so he gets into the United States, which I've heard rumors you can do. Without, not legally. I've heard you can legally get into the United States.
Okay.
That I buy. But then you have this other one where it's like, if anybody comes into the city, we'll set off the bomb. And he's like, don't worry, I'm coming back in. Maybe he's got a bat tunnel. Maybe he's got... You need to explain that.
Yeah, you do.
Because he just goes like... He spends half of the movie laying on his back, going, my back hurts, my leg hurts.
He looks like a hologram I'm limping in this movie, too, though. That was the sad part. Christian Bale is a good-looking man. Why do you have to look bad for the whole movie? They don't know what we want.
And they were, I didn't need...
We want to see, like, muscly Christian Bale on a motorcycle, duh.
I didn't need two rises of Batman. So he spends the beginning of the movie, the first act, he's, like, got this crippled leg. He's limping around in pain around Wayne Manor. And then Morgan Freeman or Alfred, somebody's just like, oh, well, I've got this brace that will just magically heal your leg. Sorry, I didn't tell you about it for 8 years. So, oh, I'm back. All right, let's get back into shape. Let's go fight. I'm going to fight Bane. Oh, got my ass kicked, got my back broken. Now I'm in this pit. Now I got to learn to do crunches again. So he does the shit out of some crunches, finally gets out of that cave, and he's Batman again. And
I did not mind having the double rises because I did like that. You know, everyone was kind of pointing out to him how superficial the first rise of Batman is. And, like, he has this sort of, like, Freudian death wish going on or something. And I actually liked the psychology behind it.
See, and I, as much as Alfred loved to talk about how he had this, like, death wish...
Yeah, Alfred wouldn't shut up about the psychology,
right,
though.
I just didn't buy it. As much as Alfred wanted to talk about it...
Kind.
I didn't buy
Michael
it.
Michael Caine.
Didn't buy it. And this is a... Okay, and this is just a little tangent. Give me 30 seconds to vent about this. You see your best friend for basically like the last 40 years of your life. Little boy you've raised, your Batman confidant. You see him, you think he's just been blown up by a nuclear bomb, which has now completely polluted the ocean.
No, it's fine.
It's fine. But it's also
no fallout.
Probably
it's okay.
Right. It's a nuclear bomb, but like, wink, wink, probably, maybe not. And don't worry about it. You see him in a cafe. You find out he's alive. He's dating this girl. Everything is good. And you just nod at him and smile and never speak to him again. Why do you do that? The only reason you do that is because earlier in the film, you described that scene exactly and say,
that's
what I would
do.
I'm not saying how did he find him.
Oh.
I'm saying that, like, you find out that that Bruce is
You'd
still
say
alive.
Something.
You go live there with him and
right.
go do and spend your time
There's
with him.
There's no threat to hanging out with him now.
None.
Yeah.
You don't have to be Batman and Alfred.
Like,
you can be Bruce Wayne and Alfred.
But maybe Alfred is like, he doesn't need me anymore. Like, I can live my life.
He doesn't
now.
Need a friend? He doesn't need a buddy?
Well, but
he's
going
to learn how to iron
shirts. That's a
shirt.
Weird buddy. That's a weird buddy that you pay to be your buddy. Like...
Maybe you don't have to pay him anymore.
Okay, maybe.
I'm sure he got left plenty when he supposedly died, and now they've got the clean slate MacGuffin, which I will
He couldn't
just,
have gotten
I
anything.
I will write off all of that.
He couldn't have gotten any money. Alfred couldn't have, because Bruce Wayne, like...
Oh, that's
lost
right.
All his money.
He lost all of his money after Bane and some Uzi thugs storm in, take Data... And the next day, Bruce Wayne is broke.
They didn't ever
No
really
one contests that.
That.
No one thinks, like, oh, maybe
didn't
the armed
they say
thugs...
at some point, though, like, was it... Maybe I'm just projecting this, but they were like, oh, we can fix this, but not... But it's gonna take a while.
Yeah,
like
and then just kidding, never. But good thing those orphans will have somewhere
well,
to live.
Well, you don't know never. Like, now he's in Italy, living around. Maybe he's got money again.
You think maybe he fixed it?
Maybe.
Where would they give the money? Bruce Wayne disappears when Batman disappears.
I don't know.
No one goes like, oh, Batman blew up. Where'd Bruce Wayne go? Well, he's poor. Don't even worry about it. Oh, here's his will. Don't even worry about it. There was too many don't worries about it.
Yeah, it's like, they're not impossible to explain. You can think up situations to explain how these things happen, but they just said, don't worry about it.
Don't worry
this
about
happened.
It.
This happened.
Huge thing. Like, that bomb. I get why Batman doesn't die with the bomb, but I don't get why sending it,
Why
you
half
know...
of Gotham doesn't die with the bomb.
Right.
Yeah. Because, I mean, bombs were blown up in Nevada, and we're still feeling the effects of it.
Right, exactly.
And like what?
Not like 25 yards off the shore.
Right. So anyway,
Scarecrow cameo is pretty good though.
Scarecrow cameo is awesome, and so is the Jogo ending.
Yeah, that is awesome. Although Christopher Nolan said he's not going to do any more.
But it's cool to know, like, it's so heavy-handed, right? All of the Batman movies are so heavy-handed, but he's just like, you know, anybody could be Batman.
Right.
And then, like,
Including the little orphan who later figured out who Batman was when not even Gary Oldman could.
Right.
Because he saw him one time as a child and recognized the bottom half of his face.
But did you know that's from the comics? I found out that's from the comics. That's Dick Grayson's, like, origin story. He found out that who Batman was before anybody else did.
Because he saw him as an orphan?
Something like that, yeah.
Well, I don't buy it.
Anyway.
Give me my money back.
You must have really hated this movie the way you're talking about it. You hated it.
No, I said I wanted to talk about the plot holes. I'd watch it again. It's entertaining.
But you just said you didn't like the ending, too.
I got problems. There are plot holes through the whole thing.
Okay, but ignoring the plot holes, what did you not like about the ending?
I don't like the Michael Caine not being like buddies with
him. Yeah, but
you
don't like that... Christopher Nolan is not making another Batman movie, you don't like that he becomes Batman?
No, I think it's fine, but everybody's getting excited to see the Jogo as Batman movie when that's not going to happen.
I don't... Really? People are excited? I haven't seen anything
Yeah,
like
people
that.
Are just like... Half the people think he's Robin and don't understand the whole anybody can be Batman thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, his full name is Robin, that's just like a wink, and that's great. But... I think people are like, oh, they set it up to do new movies with Jogo. It's like, no, they didn't. I mean, they could, but it's up for the next guy who wants to try to fill Christopher Nolan's shoes and make new Batman movies, and maybe it's going to be with Jogo, but chances are it's not, because by the time they do reboot Batman, Jogo will be doing something else, because he'll be 10 years from now.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the movie's fault. I think that's people's fault for being a little stupid, but I still think that the end of the movie is really good for setting it up like that. I don't think that he's necessarily setting it up for a sequel. I don't think he's saying, like, hey guys, next summer, Jogo, right?
Right.
I think he's wrapping up the trilogy by creating a new Batman.
That we'll never see. It's just like a hypothetical.
Well, we don't have to see it. We know what the story is. Like, he's gonna fight villains and he's gonna be Batman.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. I didn't hate that ending coming out of it. Like, I kind of hate everybody's reactions to it now. Mm. And it's not how I would have ended the movie, but I thought it was fine. Mm. I didn't think it was a great way to end it. But again, I came in to record and complain. Because I wanted to love it, but I ended up just liking it.
Yeah, I think there are... I don't know. I'm not saying that your experience is invalid. I'm not trying to say that, but I do think
good,
that...
Good, because you've agreed with me on almost everything.
Yes,
so far.
I am annoyed with the plot holes, yeah, but I don't think that that's, like, a way to measure the movie completely.
No,
you
but
know what I mean? Like,
but
I think
we're
that
20
the pacing...
minutes into a review, and that's all I'm going to get to talk about.
That's the only thing you want to talk about, though.
Yeah, because that's what I'm...
That's what made
that's
you not
sticking
like it.
With me.
Yeah.
That's what it made me like it less. Because I will
always say
that I
liked it. So do you think, like, if it didn't have those plot holes, then it would be, like, this really great movie? Or do you think there were other problems with it?
No, the plot holes were the main problems.
For you, yeah?
Yeah, and the double rise. I didn't care for the double rise, which isn't a plot hole. I would have loved more Batman and less police procedural.
Yeah, I think it had, like, huge pacing problems. Like, all of them do.
Yeah. Because when you try to make a 2-hour and 45-minute movie... To pace that, it's got to be extremely difficult.
Yeah, but all you have to do is follow a 4X structure. Like, even though it's 2 hours and 45 minutes, you can still follow a structure, and they don't... Dark Knight was the worst for that.
There were so many false endings at the end of the first Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
So many. And you're ending on, like, a storyline that I care about less than the one that ended before.
Yeah, exactly.
And, yeah.
And this one has that, too. It has that awesome football scene, and then it's like... Okay, let's take a 20-minute break from anything and just sort of, like, hang out for a while. Like, let's watch, like, some political stuff and some police procedurals and, like, no one cares about, like, Batman's not around anymore Catwoman is, like, not as cool anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like he would lead you up to these big scenes and then just drop the ball completely.
Yeah, and even the way he led up to them weren't always great. Like, him and Talia, their romance made no sense to me.
I don't think they were romantic. I think she had, like, a fatherly affection for him.
They had the sex in the rain, though.
Who are you talking about?
The Marion Cotillard.
Oh, and Bruce Wayne. Yeah. They had sex in their house in front of the fire. Yeah. I thought you were talking about Bane and the girl. No. I'm like, he raised her, creep.
No. Also, if you punch Bane in the face, you break the thing that makes him not feel eternal pain.
Yeah, you should have probably punched him earlier.
He couldn't, though. That's why I didn't bring that up. Is because he tries the fuck out of to punch him in the face and can't. Mm-hmm. Bane kicks his ass in one of the best fight scenes I've seen in like 10 years.
Oh, you like that one?
I loved that fight scene with him and Bane. I was just like on the edge of my seat. Like, I knew it was coming with the back.
Mm-hmm.
I was very excited to see what they were going to do with that afterwards. Again, you dropped the ball. But that fight scene was awesome. And I like Bane's voice.
Yeah, I like Bane's voice.
I like Tom Hardy. I thought Tom Hardy was probably the best in this movie.
I like Tom Hardy as an actor, but some of the roles people put him in are complete mistakes.
I'll agree with that.
Because he's not a romantic lead.
No.
He looks like an ex-crackhead, which is what he is.
He is.
And
yeah.
People love him because he takes these, like, hot, like, magazine shots.
Right.
And then, like, I guess that translates to the screen, but I watched him in that This Is War or This Is Not War. I don't know, that
right.
Reese Witherspoon movie. And he's, like, messed up looking.
Really?
He's got, like, a few snaggle tooths, some rubber lips. Like, his hair is balding on the sides and not the top. Like, he just looks like he's been through some shit.
Right, which you put him in Inception as a gunman.
And it's good.
It'd be awesome.
Yes,
put him
but
as
you put him
Bane.
In a romantic comedy, not so good.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. But this movie really, this is the one that finally made me start paying attention to Tom Hardy.
Mm.
You know, it's like,
you watched Warrior, didn't you?
Yeah, and I liked him and stuff, but now when I see Tom Hardy in a, like, a poster or a trailer, I'm gonna go like, I want to see that.
I'm gonna
it
look
took
through,
me to that.
I'm gonna look through his page, because I kind of feel like I've seen his movies.
I think you have, because I haven't seen Bronson yet.
Yeah, I saw Bronson.
Yeah, I haven't seen a few of his others, but I think he's still got a pretty small, I still think you'd like Warrior, if you gave it a
see,
shot.
See, I saw half a Warrior, and I'm like, great, UFC.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, well, let us know what you think about The Dark Knight Rises. Email us at franklymydearpodcast@gmail.com. And next up, we're going to name our top three movie plot holes. Stick around. Just spent the last 25 minutes talking about plot holes, so we're going to wrap up this episode by talking about plot holes. Whitney, what's your number three, I don't know, is this your favorite plot hole, or the one that drives you the craziest?
I think I did the ones that drive me the craziest, or I was looking, the ones that I've noticed, because I actually don't notice plot holes as much.
Right.
Like, well, I don't know, maybe I do. But anyway, these are the ones that I've noticed that have, like, stuck with me about the movie. I'm like, oh, man, why don't they explain this?
Okay, what's your number three?
My number three is in Gremlins. How they have that thing about don't feed them after midnight, but they're, like, from China. And so is that China's midnight, or is that, like, small-town America's midnight where they end up? And then what happens with, like, daylight savings time? You know, it's always midnight somewhere, right?
Right.
So, like, when is the midnight they're talking about? Or is it, like, something about the moon, like the phases of the moon? And
yep.
And again, daylight savings time, how does that work?
Yep.
I feel like they probably should have clarified, like, don't feed them after midnight, China time.
Until when?
Yeah, that's true.
It's always after midnight
that's
at some
true.
Point.
Like, can you... Yeah, it's always after midnight, so can you feed them at
ever?
8 in the morning? Or, like, Can we go by like 4 in the morning? That's some people wake up at 4.
Is it the sunrise?
Is it sunrise? Right.
This is sort of important.
Yeah.
This is sort of one of your main 3 rules.
And whatever, he just like blows him off. He's like, oh yeah. Don't be a matter of minute, I got it.
My number 3 is Citizen Kane. Kane dies alone. You hear him say that Kane dies alone. You can watch the whole scene. Nobody's in there with him. So who heard him say Rosebud?
Yeah.
That drives me crazy.
Yeah.
The whole movie is based on it, and it's a MacGuffin.
Have you heard the explanation for it?
No.
That the guy who reveals it is supposed to be a stand-in for the audience, like us.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like we were there when Citizen Kane died. It's a little, like, abstract, but that's the explanation I've heard for it.
Because I've read that the butler was the one who said it, and so some people think, like, he made it up as a rumor to, like, get paid. Because he thought, like, I'll be behind this big media story. And like I said, like, it's a MacGuffin, so maybe it shouldn't be my number 3 because it's forgivable that way. Even finding out what Rosebud is at the end doesn't matter. And people love to think, like, it's his childhood sled. Spoiler alert. It's his childhood sled. It means this, and this. But it doesn't matter, because that's not what the story is telling. Citizen Kane isn't a story about what Rosebud is.
Yeah.
That's just a plot device about how it's just a single way to tell this man's life story.
So this is a good example about how plot holes aren't going to ruin a movie.
Exactly. Yeah, because it goes on. But I put it on my list because it has stuck with me and does bug me.
Yeah.
What's your number 2?
My number 2 is The Lost World.
Jurassic Park 2?
Yeah. This is when, so the T-Rex, they like lock it in the cargo ship, and they lock it in the cargo hold of a ship, and they're taking it back to L.A., right? It's L.A. that they go to? Yeah, because there's swimming pools. And they're stuck, he's in the cargo hold, and they pull into the port, and everybody on the ship is dead, but the T-Rex is still locked in the cargo hold, and he gets out. So it's like, the T-Rex has supposedly killed all these people on the ship and then locked himself back up so that he could burst out when they land. And apparently, I was reading, there's some deleted scene where there's a velociraptor on board that actually kills everyone. But where did the velociraptor go? And did he kill people before they steered the ship into the port? Or, like, did he have just, like, the perfect timing and kill everyone, like, after they steered it?
Right.
Like, or they put it on autopilot or something. I don't know. It was like, it's totally unexplainable. They never talk about this supposed velociraptor, so I really think that it was just a mistake.
Someone once told me that if you got rid of that first scene with the T-Rex and that whole chunk of it, the rest of the movie is good. I rewatched it. If you got rid of the scene, sorry, not the scene with that you're talking about, with the T-Rex on mainland.
So you're talking about the whole like last third of the movie, in
right?
LA.
They say the rest of that movie is a good movie.
It's not,
and it's not.
No,
it's just not.
Nope.
Yeah, I could do a whole episode on why it's not.
We already have, I think.
Oh yeah, we did.
Mm-hmm.
Vince Vaughn. My number 2 is Back to the Future.
Yeah.
George and Lorraine get together. He gets them together. Calvin Klein.
Yes.
Michael J. Fox gets them together. They have a child, and the child grows up to look not similar to, not reminiscent of, but exactly the way that Lorraine's crush in high school looked. That's not...
And they don't recognize him.
Nope.
And Biff doesn't recognize him either.
Nope. There's not... It's just time travel. It's not magic.
Right.
It's just science. And it doesn't make any sense to me. It's just like, he wears the same clothes.
Right.
You know, like, he was wearing, like, mid-80s fashions. So it's not just like, oh, well, no one recognized him because he got into, like, German techno music and was totally, like, painting his face, or he's a juggalo now. Like, no. He looks exactly the same, dresses exactly the same, they live in the same house. Like, it's just, I don't know, it drives me crazy.
What do you mean they live in the same house?
That was more for me than them. They're not going to know what house they lived
in. Okay. All right. Number 1. My number 1 is Empire Strikes Back. Okay. So they're on Hoth. All of them together. Luke, Leia, and Han. All of them on Hoth.
Right.
They split up. And then Luke goes to train with Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else goes to Cloud City where Luke shows up right after.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they meet again in Cloud City. So how long is Luke training with Yoda? And we don't know anything about what Han and Leia are doing. So either Luke trained to be a Jedi in like 2 days.
Right.
Like let's say the journey to Cloud City was like 2 days.
Right.
Either Luke trained in 2 days, in which case he is like a whiny little brat. Like he is so whiny during that training session, and you're like, it's only 2 days, dude. Like, fuck up. You're gonna emerge from this a Jedi.
Right.
Right. So it's either that, or Luke is training for months, which seems more likely with Yoda, and Han and Leia are doing what? Like, are they stuck in space? Like, starving to death? Are they going to other planets that we're just not seeing? Like, there's no explanation of what Luke and Leia, or what Han and Leia are doing for that
long. They're, like, not worried about Vader. Yeah. They're not worried about it. I think they're boning.
Yeah, they're just in space somewhere boning.
Space boning.
And starving.
And starving.
It's the weirdest. That's always bugged me. I'm always just like, what is Han doing right now?
I had never thought of that.
And, like, how long has Luke been on this planet? Like, I just wish they would at least say it. Like, Yoda's like, been here 4 months, you have.
Right.
Like,
but even if you said it, at least, like, if you said 4 months, then you'd, like, nah,
then you'd be like,
just
oh,
get
wow,
mad.
What are they doing?
But at least you could be like, well, maybe he's just whiny.
He's whiny.
Right. Right.
But that's ridiculous if it's been like an afternoon of him training.
My number one is Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yep.
We've talked about this before. I don't know. The new listeners won't remember this episode. We did a whole episode on this movie, and this still is my number one plot hole. You have four invalids in a bed. Can't help. The only one who's working is the mother, who sadly stirs gray laundry in gray water in cabbage soup and cries and sings sad, horrible songs that you fast-forward through every time. And the second a little boy comes home with a golden ticket, just a trip. No one knows lives are going to be changed from this trip.
Right, they don't know they're getting a chocolate factory.
It's just a tour. Hey, I got a factory tour. He gets up out of his damn bed and fucking shuffles around the room like, it's ours, Charlie. No, asshole. If anybody, it should be Charlie and his mom's.
Yeah, the fact that he doesn't even ask his mom to go with him.
No, he's just Grandpa clearly wants to go. he's made that very apparent. And it makes me mad because you know that he's faking it. But there's parts of his song and dance routine where he, like, fake stumbles across the room into the wall.
And then does, like, a little tap routine
and he's
afterwards.
Like, just kidding. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. It's ours, Charlie. So it makes me wonder if all four of them are faking. That's my new theory. Because why not? I think
woman's going to do everything for you.
I think if he came home with 5 golden tickets, all of them would be up doing a chorus line together, and the mom still wouldn't get to go.
Even Grandpa George.
Even blind-ass Grandpa.
Really
no
rough.
Way. He takes off those glasses. He's got perfect vision.
He's 20 years younger.
Yeah, he's fine. He's just like, it's all of ours, Charlie.
Not yours, lady. Keep stirring that cabbage soup. Tick, tick. Time's a-wasting.
Shut up, Charlie. Those are our top 3 plot holes. Email us your favorite plot holes at franklymydearpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll see you next week. Stick around.
Jobs that require headphones. I suppose if you were lucky enough to get the job at the end of the assembly line to test the headphones at a headphone factory, that would be the awesomest job ever. Or maybe like whatever your job is right now, if you're sitting at your desk listening to this CD, and I suppose like also the Pope might use them or something when he's talking to God.
We both have headphones at our job. We both have headphones at our job. We both have headphones at our job.